There is a river. I'm glad that river is eternal, aren't you? It's a spring that'll never run dry. Appreciate that very much. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, chapter 23. We're going to start a kind of a mini-series this summer. And really the title of the series will be called Attitude. And tonight is the attitude of jealousy. Lord willing, next Wednesday night we'll cover the attitude of worry. How to overcome jealousy, how to overcome worry, how to overcome just some practical, biblical principles that can help us. And before we get into the fall, and we'll get into the Gospel of Mark. And that's still the goal. As I said, I hope you've had a wonderful week so far. We are praying for the junior campers. Pray for them. Me and my wife had a tremendous visit this afternoon with this morning with a couple. Still just so thankful for the many visitors that we have here at our church. And it's amazing. And we're certainly trying to be good stewards of the visitors God's given us. And it's amazing, even though this year we haven't maybe had the souls saved that we had last year. And I want to keep that before you. Pray about that. We don't want to just see families join. That's awesome. But we want to see people getting saved too. Amen. And we've had people saved. We had two saved Sunday. We had one saved in Children's Church, and of course, one walked the aisle that was saved in the home. And God's good, and we want to continue to see the baptistry waters stirred. Amen? And so be in prayer for the juniors as they go off the camp, and that there's one there that's lost, they get saved, and they get encouraged as well. So just a small mini-series this summer on the attitude and the attitude of jealousy. And I picked this one because the subject we preached on love a few months ago on Sunday mornings out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we preached on that little phrase, love envieth not. Love envieth not. And this will go right along with that message and reminding us of how we must be very careful about envy and jealousy in our heart. Very simple Proverbs. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I won't have you turn over there, but Song of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 6 says, jealousy, listen to this, jealousy is cruel as the grave. Listen, jealousy is cruel as the grave. I think from the onset we must understand that jealousy and envy, which are synonyms, the very first synonym for envy is jealousy, the very first synonym for jealousy is envy. They go hand in hand. That the person who is jealous, the person who is envying, is hurt a lot more than the object of their envy and jealousy. It will tear you apart. It really will. It'll cause so much stress in your life and so many other things. And so it will eat away with you just like cancer does. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We pray tonight that you would be with us and strengthen us, encourage us tonight as we preach upon this important subject. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that you are a wonderful God who seeks the very possible good in everyone's life. And I pray tonight that we would not be caught up in jealousy and envy. Lord, help us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jealousy is resentment against a person enjoying success or advantage. There is not one person in this room, including myself, who hasn't experienced jealousy. It's in our makeup. It's a part of our fallen nature. It's a part of being selfish. And it's an attitude that we have to be careful and keep an eye out for. It's been called us the green monster. I think that came from Shakespeare. It's a terrible, terrible attitude to have. And it's a resentment, again, against a person enjoying success or advantage. Jealousy is an evil attitude toward another person who has advanced in some measure further than we have. Right? I even got a quote out of Dr. Barber's book from J. Frank Norris. Here we go. People are jealous of other people for one of three reasons. The other person knows more, has more, or can do more. The person either, listen to that again. The other person knows more, has more, or can do more, and we become jealous. The objects of jealousy. What are the objects of jealousy? Possessions. Somebody who has more than we do, or somebody who's obtained more than we are, somebody who's seemingly has things better than we do, and we many times become jealous of them. And that old syndrome of keeping up with the Joneses. Somebody's got more stuff and more possessions than we do, and we have to buy stuff and do stuff to keep up with them, which that's against Dave Ramsey's rules, so don't do that. That's against biblical rules, biblical principles. But we are jealous of their possessions, and I do think as we get older, maybe this particular form of jealousy kind of goes in the background. I don't know about you, but I think as I've gotten older, I just to the point, at some point, I'm okay. I'm good with this. I have enough stuff. I had a garage sale 3 or 4 years ago. I sold like 2 houses worth of stuff. That's how much stuff we had stored out back. But I know that's junk, but anyway, so one man's junk is another man's treasure. But possessions can cause jealousy. Position. Someone who has a better position than you, somebody who has advanced in the company and maybe you haven't, or maybe an extra neighbor who's advanced, or maybe even a church member, someone whom you're jealous of the position that they have. Thirdly is personality. Personality. Some people are jealous of someone who has a better, or maybe a better way to put that is more pleasing personality. And something somebody covets. I know there are certain personalities that I can become very envious of if I'm not careful. Sometimes I would like to be a little more oomph to mine, or a little more this. And if we're not careful, we can look at other people and say, I wished I had that in my personality. But that's not the way God made you. God didn't make me that way. God made me laid back. And therefore, I have to pray and depend upon God to be a little more forceful when I need to. Right? Some of you have no problem with the forcefulness. Maybe you have to pray God hold you back a little bit. And I won't tell you, my wife. Who has that? She's not in here, so I'll pick on her. You know what, though? I will clarify. I talk about my wife. It's amazing, though, as a pastor, you see it 9 times out of 10. That people marry opposites. It's unbelievable how many times that happens. And it's biblical principle. They do. Your spouse completes you. There's no doubt about it. So many times you will marry someone who's a little more the opposite of your personality, and that's hopefully somewhere you can meet down the middle. And that's what God intended. And I'm so thankful for my wife. And we do have somewhat opposite personalities. We need to be careful that we don't begin to envy someone else's personality. God made you the way you are. We can envy the way somebody looks, the way God made someone. And we need to be careful in this. God made you just like you are. And people who become envious of some way someone else looks begins to try to make changes. I see this especially as a pastor, as I watch people grow older, and sometimes a man or a woman will get in a position where they think they need to look differently, and they'll try to do things. And listen, God made you just the way you are. That needed to be said. Amen? God made you just the way you are. And I'm not talking about need to lose weight. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying God made you with that nose. God made me with this nose. I have a big nose. And Caleb's better get used to it. It's a Crawford nose. My dad has a big nose. Joshua has a big nose. Micah's developing one. It's the way it is, And God made us this way. We must be very careful when it comes to possessions, that we don't envy. Another synonym would be covet, envy, that we're not jealous of someone else's stuff. And listen, I'm at the point in my life, I believe I can honestly say that when I see someone drive up in something else that's nice, and I don't covet those things. I don't covet somebody else's house or envy someone else's house. We need to be very careful in that area. Number two is that position, and being careful that we don't envy someone's position or somebody's personality. Jealousy is the first cousin of envy, like I said. Jealousy is resentfully envious of another person. Jealousy's first synonym is envy. Jealousy nurtures hostile feelings. Jealousy encourages harmful actions. I want to tell you, jealousy and envy lead to most other sins. Murder. I mean, if you can name jealousy and envy, most of the time, the other sins are that way. Adultery, even. I mean, most of the other things can be attested or can be pulled back or seen to begin in the root of jealousy and the root of envy. Jealousy encourages harmful actions. Jealousy wounds another person just for the sake of wounding them. I read an illustration today. I'll probably get this wrong, but it's all right, we'll try it. A plant was asking a rose bush why he wanted to wear the other people's clothes. He said, "I'm not trying to wear the other clothes, I'm just trying to tear theirs up." The rose, you know, anybody else understand that illustration? Oh, good, some of you got it. I did it all right. But you kind of get the idea that jealousy is not just about, sometimes not just about wanting somebody else's stuff, but it's wanting them not to have that stuff. And so whatever we can, you know, somebody who's jealous would just want to seek to take that stuff away from them. Jealousy seeks its own. It's selfish. Selfishness. Again, that selfishness is the root of every sin. We know that according to Romans chapter 10 and so forth and so on. Jealousy hurts just for the enjoyment of hurting. Jealousy. 1 John 3:2 speaks of envy. It speaks of Cain and Abel and uses that term, especially in the Greek, it uses the term devilish. That jealousy and envy are devilish. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, envy is and jealousy is listed amongst the descriptions of the works of the flesh. The word envy, the works of the flesh. And then if you want to really look at a list, Romans chapter 1, let's turn there real quick. Romans chapter 1, it said, well, jealousy, envy, come on, preacher, you know, whatever. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of what? Envy, murder. Look what's right beside it. Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despitefully proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. It just goes on and on and on. Notice the list that envy is among. We must understand and know that to God, envy is right there with all the other sins that we would call, you know, way up there on the list. Right? Is that not true? We must be careful. We must, you know what? I think we must understand sin as God sees sin. Sometimes we think, this one maybe not as bad as that one or whatever the case is. But envy is listed among the grossest sins in the Bible. Envy is universal. Envy is universal in that it affects the rich. The rich, some rich just want to get richer. It affects the poor. It affects those who are skinny. Maybe not so much, but those who are fat maybe. It affects, I appreciate the amens on that one. It affects the learned, the unlearned. It affects the small. It affects the great. It affects the short. It affects the tall. It affects the good. It affects the bad. It affects everybody. It affects anybody. It affects everyone. Even affects animals. Right? Little dog, big dog. Little dog wants to be big like the big. Why is it that every little dog, nearly every little dog, just acts all ferocious when another big dog comes around? It's amazing, isn't it? It's jealousy, and one dog wants the affection of the owner more than the other dog, and they all, you know, anyway, y'all understand. We got kids in here tonight. One kid, never mind. I didn't want to make that comparison after I made the comparison with dogs. My papa up on the farm in Duncan, Oklahoma, when we were kids, bought a horse. We were 8 years old. Some of you have heard some of the stories about her name is Cody. And Cody, we helped break the horse, full-blood quarter horse, a very fast horse, a lot of fun when we were kids. And but over time, over a period of 4, 5, 6 years, that horse really became a one-man horse. It became my pawpaw's horse. And when we went up there, we had to do certain things in order to ride that horse because she wouldn't mind anybody but my pawpaw. Well, my papa thought, well, what we'll do is we'll breed her and see if that might help calm her down a little bit. And so we now have a horse. My dad's still feeding that horse, whose name is Abigail. And that That horse thinks it's a dog. I promise you, you can talk to my wife and my son. That horse thinks it's a dog. Acts like a dog. You know, jealous. Oh, my goodness. When Cody was still alive, the mom and boy, just jealousy between the mom and the colt, and between the mom and the dog. It was amazing to watch those two horses trying to gain the affection of my pawpaw. One trying to hit the other. Of course, mama usually won, but it's just amazing how jealous they would become. Horses. Horses. Animals. Kids. As adults, we don't grow out of it either. I mean, my older brother, and I'm sometimes, you know, want this. Anyway. There's still a little sibling rivalry going on. And anyway, I got married before he did. I had kids before he did. I'm bigger than him. I can whoop him. My dad's more proud of me than he is him. We laugh, but some families, that's true. Boy, I'm telling you, envy, jealousy, it's amazing. Where is jealousy found? Well, the first example is the family. We see this all the way back in Genesis 37. The Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers. Remember the story? I'm not going to go back there and read it. But Jacob loved his brother, loved Joseph, his youngest, more than he loved his other brothers. In the verse 11 there in Genesis 37, it says these words. It says, and his brothers envied him. His brothers envied him. Why did they throw him in the pit? Because they envied him. I think there were some other things there. I think because he was a righteous young man, because he was a godly young man, I think there was other motives there. But the primary motive, the Bible tells us, envy, jealousy. They were jealous of him. I always like to take the point and remind parents and grandparents to do your very best. We should do our very best to treat each one of our kids the same. We should do our very best to treat each child the same. I've given this example 100 times too, but my papa, when he was alive, even though him and I had the most in common, even though him and I got along the best because I enjoyed working with my hands and doing lots of things, he always just yelled at my brother a lot because my brother didn't know how to turn a wrench. Was this a screwdriver, papa? Yeah, it's a screwdriver. How do I turn? No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. My papa felt like you should know what he was thinking beforehand. You know what I'm saying? And so, but my papa was always very careful. If he gave my brother money, he gave me and my sister money. Always, I don't know of any other time, where he wasn't evenly distributing what he had and what he gave. And was very careful about not creating jealousy in the family. I just want to encourage you, be very careful as a parent, as a grandparent, to treat each child the same. Even though you may have more in common with one child, even though you may have more in common with one grandkid, be very careful, because it will create, if you're not careful, to create jealousy in the family. And that's not what God intended. There was definitely sibling rivalry in Jacob's home. And so we must be very careful. Where is jealousy found? It could be found in the family. And I think it's up to parents too to make sure that the children in the home, that they don't have jealousy one of another. And that we do sit down with our children that are here tonight and say to them, hey, yes, brother can do this, but you can do this better than him. And show them their weaknesses and show them their strong points. And understand that God made you this way, and explain those things to your kids. And just because sister can do this better than you doesn't mean that she's in any way more loved than you. And so forth and so on. Amen? And that should be part of the parental job, is making sure we point out to our children their strong points and even their weak points. So in the family, we must be careful. Number two, in public life. I think there's a great example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 18, after David had killed the Philistine and they were coming back, and the Bible says that Saul put David over his army. And as he came back into town, they said in Samuel that the crowd began to yell out, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And if you go back and you read there in 1 Samuel, it says that from that time forward, Saul began to look upon David. He was jealous. He was envious of David. And jealousy wants to destroy its object. And certainly we know that Saul tried to destroy David and tried to kill him. jealousy will destroy the one who has it in his own heart. It did destroy Saul. It did destroy Saul. You know, Saul had no relationship with God at some point, especially there after Samuel died. He always had to go through Samuel when it came to his relationship with God. The spirit of jealousy will eat you from the inside out. The neighbor gets a new car. We become jealous over that. The public life, in other words. Someone said nothing depreciates an old car faster than having a neighbor get a new one. Dr. Barber quote. I like that one. We think about on the job. I'm talking about the public life again. On the job and being jealous of someone who gets a promotion. You know what my advice to you is? If your coworkers around you are getting promoted and you are not, get to work. Get to work. You know? Get to work. That's what my dad would have told me. After a man makes his mark in the world, a multitude come running to erase it. And again, the green-eyed monster, as quoted by Shakespeare, eats at you. Eats at you. It's a sin before God. It's a sin. Jealousy and envy is a sin. We must see it as that. And then thirdly, we think about not only jealousy among the family and in our public life. We must be careful at work and with our neighbors and so forth. But number three, in the church. And I tell you what, we must be careful in the church not to become jealous of others. Cain and Abel came to worship God, didn't they? And Cain became jealous of Abel. And we won't go through that whole story, but understand the principle there. We must be careful as we come to worship not to be jealous of each other. Romans tells us, and Corinthians tells us, that God has given every person a gift. Gifts to be used in the church. Some have differing gifts. Some have more gifts than others, and so forth. But we should never be jealous of one who has seemingly a better gift. I still believe when we get to heaven that the person who hasn't been in the spotlight, the person who works behind the scenes, I believe will get the greatest rewards. The person who's never been pat on the back, the person who, you know, those type of things. We must be careful and understand that God gives various gifts to us. Some are an eye, some are a hand, some are a foot, some are legs, some are the head. But we all work together for one common goal. That's to see people get saved. We hoopatossa, we line up, we march together. And God has given us gifts, and we should never become jealous of each other. We should never become envious of each other. I don't mean to always clarify. I've given this illustration before, but I want you to know that I do remember giving illustrations. Back in Nakona, when I was a little kid, my dad, at the age of 11, went to help start a church in Nakona with our song leader from Bowie. So he was best friends with the song leader. And so we lived 20 miles from Nakona, and we went over there to help start the church. And God bless, and they were meeting in the old library downtown Nakona, a little bitty town, 2,800 people. And God bless, gave a piece of property. And I can remember as a kid, the walls being up on that little church building. It's just a 2,000 square foot church building. And I can remember sweeping it out as a kid, you know, sweeping the leaves out. And just a neat and a great opportunity for me as a kid to watch a new church be born. And it was just a wonderful experience. But I can remember back before we got in the new building was going up. There was a disagreement about something in the church, in the new church building. And the person in the church who had a little money, and the pastor, Brother Roy Martin, was a laid-back man and wasn't very assertive. Not that that was detrimental. I'm just saying that's the way he was. And I'll never forget one night. It was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. I don't remember which. And we were having a business meeting. My dad and Brother Martin, the pastor, got there early, and there was a few things said. And my dad, all I remember is my dad saying to me, if this thing breaks out in a fist fight, run the next block over to the police department and go get the police. That's terrible to say to a 12, 13-year-old kid, if this thing breaks out in a fist fight, go get the cops. But he was very sincere when he said it, because this man who had an ought against the pastor was making physical threats and so forth. And I still say, man, I almost wish it had happened. I'd like to see my dad, see what would happen. But anyway, that's one thing or another. As a little kid, that was something I wanted. But so I didn't have to, but I just think, how in the world does a church get to that point? Well, I can tell you, The man who was causing the problem was jealous, absolute jealous and envious of what was going on in the church. And he began to lose a little bit of his authority and his power, and he just didn't like that happening. It's amazing. We must be careful in the church. We must be reminded that our goal is to win people to Jesus. And however that's done, right? The common goal should keep us locked together, footsteps together. We're fixing to build a new activity center. We're going to keep calling it that. That's what we're going to name it. Activity center. And you know what? I don't know what colors we're going to... It's going to be awesome. You know, we're going to get a few ladies together, and just like we did these other buildings, and, you know, I don't know what exactly. We come in there, and the tile is purple. Awesome. That's cool. That's great. The tile's purple. Woo-hoo! It won't be purple, because as you can see, your preacher likes neutral colors. And I get made fun of a lot about it. But that's okay. You know what? It doesn't matter about the color of carpet. You know, we should have put darker carpet in the auditorium and down the hallways. I understand that. I understand it. But anyway, I digress. We shouldn't fight about the color of carpet. It's just, those are trivial things. It's winning people to Jesus. Amen? And jealousy and envy and anger, these things don't need to enter into the church life. Jealousy in the church is despicable and despisable, and it grieves the Spirit of God. And I'm so thankful today in that home. One of the highest compliments we get all the time from people is, I feel the Holy Spirit in the service. I feel the presence of the Lord there in the church. Isn't that awesome? You know why that happens? Because we've made the Holy Spirit comfortable. We've created a habitation, as Ephesians talks about, a habitation of the Lord. And we're coming together with a single mind, with one heart, to spread the gospel, to baptize and disciple individuals. And we must keep that spirit and keep that green-eyed monster out of the church. We must be careful about the attitude, well, the pastor didn't thank me. Sometimes I was mentored by a man who said, and very rarely ever thanked anybody from the pulpit. And I said, if I ever become pastor, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to continue to try to thank people publicly. But sometimes at doing that, you offend others whom you forget. And I realize that, but I don't want to give up thanking people. I don't want to give up giving credit where credit's due sometimes. And if I forget you, I'm sorry. But we should never become jealous and angry about the pastor not patting you on the back, or some person got to teach and you didn't, and da 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 da, we're fixing to put VBS on, and you know what? Not everybody can do the teaching at VBS. Somebody's got to corral kids. Somebody's got to step on some necks. John Reed quote. Give credit where credit's due, Brother John. Somebody's got to help in other places. Amen? And we need to be careful. What does jealousy do? It divides people. These are simple stuff. This is elementary. Everybody understands that jealousy divides people. The church at Corinth. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. They were divided. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. And they began to be divided over who their mentors were and who baptized them. And Paul said, listen, it's not about who baptized you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about the Lord. And quit being divided and quit being jealous and envious of each other. Paul spent a bunch of time in that book. Man, jealousy divides. Jealousy separates one from God. In Mark 15:10, the Jews, absolutely. In fact, Pilate understood the reason why the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, came to him is because they were jealous of Jesus. And if you want to get it down to a nutshell, Jesus hung on the cross, basically, I'm humanly speaking, because of jealousy. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees were losing their authority. And they knew it. They were jealous of the Lord. Jealousy, number three, becomes the master of one's life. Jealousy destroys the person who's jealous. One of the greatest examples is found in the Old Testament, where we see Haman. Remember the story of Haman and Mordecai? Remember, Haman was a second man to the king, and Esther enters the scene, and Esther has a big banquet, and all these things happen. And anyway, but Haman was just call him vice president, and Mordecai would not bow to him. Mordecai would not give him obeisance, and Haman became very angry at him and jealous of him, and so forth. Well, so he began to build gallows to hang Mordecai on. Haman built gallows to hang Mordecai on. He built them. Then Esther had the king had a hard time sleeping one night. Remember the story? King had a hard time sleeping one night and read a story, had the whomever come reading the history books, and found out Mordecai had thwarted a plot to kill the king. And the king asked, did we ever reward Mordecai for thwarting that plot to kill me? And they said, no. So he went to Haman. He said, what should we do to the man? And he began to make a big deal of it, the king, to Haman. And Haman thought it was him that the king was going to honor. And he began to say, well, if you're going to honor someone, you ought to give them your robe. And you ought to put them on your horse and in your chariot and have them go throughout the town and go throughout the city and everyone make obeisance and so forth to him. And I love it. The king says, you go get Mordecai and do that. I love that. It's awesome. Got to go read it. Found in Esther, chapter 7, that area. And so then you know the rest of the story, that Esther had a banquet and invited the king and Haman. And finally, Esther reveals to the king that Haman was trying to kill all the Jews. And so Haman was hanged on his own gallows that he made for Mordecai. That's so awesome. A person who's jealous, a person who's envious, it'll destroy you. And I like this, jealousy will backfire on you. It certainly backfired on Haman. It'll backfire on you. We have to be careful as Christians. How are we delivered from jealousy? These are simple, simple principles. Number one, admit you have a problem and seek the cure. Admit you have a problem. When you're jealous or overwhelmed with envy, covetousness, seek the cure. Confess to God your sin. 1 John 1:9. I'm so thankful for that verse, aren't you? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To come to God and confess our sin and say, Lord, I shouldn't be jealous of so-and-so because he got this, or I shouldn't be jealous of her because she looks this way, or I shouldn't be jealous or envious of this person because of this or that. Admit it and confess it to God, and then follow the doctor's orders. I'm sometimes not very good at that, are you? Doctor says, you need to do this, this, and that. First thing is, I'm not very good at going to the doctor. Wait 3 or 4 years and you finally go, and he says, why didn't you come before this? I said, I waited until I had 3 or 4 things wrong. I didn't want to pay for one thing at a time. I want to come get my money's worth. Doctor gives a prescription. You don't look at it and say, man, that's pretty writing on this thing. I think I'll hang it up on the refrigerator. Most of the time it's not pretty writing anyway. No, you take it to the pharmacist, you get it filled, and you take it. How are we to get cured of jealousy? Confess it. And then fill your heart with the Word of God. The greatest pill, the greatest antibiotic, the greatest ointment that you can have and take for jealousy and envy is hiding the Word of God in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. We must take the prescription. 1 Corinthians 13, we studied it a few months ago now. Verse 4 says, love envieth not. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Love is not jealous. Love is selfless. And we are commanded to love one another. We're commanded not to envy, not to be jealous. And I just want to encourage you, if you get enough of Jesus' love in your heart, you'll have no room for jealousy and envy. 1 John 1:7, and I'm done. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That pretty well says that as long as your relationship with God is right, as long as your heart is full of the Word of God, as long as your relationship with Jesus is where it should be, you'll have no problem with your fellow man or fellow woman. Amen? Keep your relationship, keep your eyes on Jesus. Fill your heart full of His love. How do we do that? Read the Word of God. Hear the preaching of the Word of God. Surround yourself with godly people and so forth. Take the prescription. We need to be careful about the green-eyed monster of jealousy. How are you tonight? How are you tonight when it comes to envy and jealousy? Let's all stand. We have verse invitation. Hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. How's your attitude when it comes to jealousy? How's your attitude when it comes to envy and covetousness? How's your attitude? We need to check our attitudes from time to time. We need a little self-examination to make sure that we haven't allowed jealousy, envy to take a root in our lives. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love, and we thank You for the Word of God and the plainness that speaks about envy and jealousy. And I pray tonight You would help each of us to be content with what You have given us. Lord, that we would be able to be the greatest advocate of others whom You have blessed. God, we would encourage them and be happy for them. I pray that You would continue to guard and put a hedge of thorns about our church when it comes to jealousy and envy. Lord, that each of us as church members and as church family would keep our eyes on You and keep our purpose clear, and that is to win people to You. I pray tonight for those who may be hurting tonight or whatever other things might be upon people's hearts, Lord, that they'd be able to cast those cares upon You. We'll thank You for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.